The issue is one that has to be an individual decision, because you're free. And you're your own master in that sense. Yes, it's on. Oh. And but the fact that you don't have a solution yet doesn't mean you can't choose to turn your back on what you see as not being correct. Yes, you carry the burden of coming up with that solution or trying to find that solution. It may take a while. It took Hahnemann quite a while before he found a solution, which actually is, you know, a tremendous gift that now can be given to people. But he searched for years before he found that. 10 years. Before he went from rejecting any medicine to giving medicine, but on a totally different basis. So this is the challenge that we all face, in a sense. And we shouldn't turn from it just because we have no solution. The first responsibility is, if you know something is wrong, not to feed something which is actually evil. Anyway. Okay. Sorry.
I've been sitting on numerous comments just because I don't like to be recorded, but hey, if I sound like a fool, that's okay. But anyway, I think that what happened is, I think the most people acknowledge that every country in the world has a certain mentality. And the American mentality, as far as I can see it, is that it's kind of like the Big Brother mentality. We know what's right. And a lot of people have chosen to look at the United States in terms of them being victims. But a lot of people have not realized that during the past 5 years, the government, the army, have slaughtered over 500,000 people in the Middle East. And so the way I look at it is, it's a mentality, or it's a message on a larger scale to Americans that people don't like hearing, I know what the right way is. And it's really a message that you can't keep telling people that their way is wrong. You're going to have people fight back, and I think that's what's happening. So the United States, I don't see them as being the victims here. Yes, what's happened is very tragic, but people aren't realizing that the United States really are condescending in a lot of ways. They say, well, you know, this is the right way. Democracy is a wonderful thing. And, you know, I think that your culture, you're bad because, you know, you let male supremacy rule. And they just say that it's a horrible thing. So it's like, I have an older sister, and she's like this. It's a very fun relationship we have going. And it's sort of these countries, I look at them as the younger sibling saying, you know what, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm sick of hearing you say that what I've done is wrong and that my way of doing things is incorrect. So I think what's really happened is people are saying, you know, I'm sorry I have to go to war, but I'm sick of you telling me the way things have to be. And so I think it's a large message to Americans in general, because I find that that is largely the American perspective, that we know what's right and we don't. So I think it's a large message on a global scale to Americans and people in general.
Okay. I just make a small comment on that, and that is, I think you need to be careful to separate the United States from America. Very different. The United States is a separate entity from America. It is the government. It's the federal government. The United States had nothing to do with the Declaration of Independence, and nothing to do with the, you know, Constitution. The things you're talking about are very true. The interference in other countries' affairs, the training of terrorists, the United States, not America, but the United States is responsible for the training of terrorists. In fact, terrorists who suspected of being behind the World Trade Center bombing was actually trained by the United States CIA. However, I'm not talking about the United States. The sins of the United States are quite well known. But what I'm talking about is America. Because America is, in the Declaration of Independence, it says, we the people. That is America. It's not the United States. Very, very different. And there's a whole history behind that. But that's the corruption of the idea of America and the Declaration of Independence. No, they're very different. Well, it's like they are very different. It's in essence, the government is an entity into its own, Once you create a government, and this was recognized by the Declaration of Independence, they actually wanted no government. But there was an understanding that you had to have, at minimum, some common structure for a certain limited end. And for that purpose, the Constitution of the United States was created, of the United States. The Constitution is a document which sets out very clearly exactly the limited powers of the United States. Not America, but the United States. And you see this in the capital U and capital S. It's a legal term. The United States has authority only over Washington, D.C. and the territories of the United States, which are Guam and Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico and a few others. That is the United States. Unfortunately, starting about 30 or 40 years, 50 years after the American Revolution, there was a corruption of America by the United States. It's an interesting, fascinating story. How the United States spread its tentacles through America. So that now most Americans think that the United States is that geographic entity that you visit when you... It's not. There is a false layer that has been laid on top of the true United States, but small u. That's what it says in the Declaration of Independence. These United States, small u, capital S, of America. Okay? This false entity called the United States created an overlay, which now, for most people, appears to be the real America. And so it seems that the United States and America are one and the same thing. They're not. So the acts that you refer to are the acts of the United States, okay, which is an entity unto itself, and not the acts of America, which is a totally different concept and state of mind. They're two very different things. I know it's hard to understand, and it would take me a long time to explain that, but I think it's very important to separate that out, because when you're dealing with your ordinary American, you're not dealing with the United States. However, it's so confused and interlaced in their mind, and they can't separate one from the other, that it's as if that were the case. But they are just as much victims of the United States as are any other people around the world who have suffered at the hands of the United States. So it's an interesting distinction. Yes, we have that overlay as well, yes. There's a difference between, well, except we don't have two terms for it, but there's a difference in Canada as well between the Canada that is represented in statute law by the Parliament of Canada and the Canada that exists independent and free of that statute law. Okay. It's a long horse story, yeah.
As I see it, the sins of the United States are being visited upon Americans.
Yep.
And I think I interpret the shock of, you know, Tuesday's events as the realization that this image, this perceived barrier, this shield that we think of as the United States, the government, the forces that it marshals, it really was incapable of protecting them. And yet, all its actions are being, you know, chickens are coming home to roost, basically, and Americans are suffering. And I think, in terms of an awareness, is that Americans are going to, North Americans, really, are going to realize that the suffering that is visited upon people throughout the world can happen to us, and it's not enough to trust that the people to whom we pay our taxes are going to somehow ward it off. We need to understand what's going on, and we need to gain I guess, a sympathy for the other peoples of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
I just wanted to add a Canadian perspective to this. Was I had one of my daughters traveled to Europe. She was traveling for 8 months and would go nowhere without her backpack with an American, with her Canadian flag. And no Canadian, usually, especially if they're hitchhiking, whatever, with the Canadian, you always wear your emblem because you just don't want to be marked with the same or painted with the same brush. Then she came home and she went to work in the States for 4 months. And when she came back, her assessment of what people were saying about Canadians. Now, this was not New York. This wasn't a big hub, you know. This was Kentucky. And it was just that you Canadians, you sort of pretend to like us, but you think you're better than us. You never say anything, but we just have this feeling that you just think you're better than us. So, you know, it goes both ways. And in terms of territory and whatever, we share a lot with the Americans, but we are who we are, and nothing is going to change. But tying together this whole situation, and when I came here, it was trying to figure out, how do you make sense out of this? You talked about, you know, it being an allopathic world, and the allopathic solution to this would be, you know, you have force, you answer it back with more force. But homeopathy doesn't work either, because if it started off with the haves and the have-nots, it started off with a lack of love, if it started off with greed, if it's sheerly a matter of power, misused power, then you can't potentize that because it wouldn't do anything to cure it. So from what I'm getting is that it's just reinforcing that, I mean, in terms of when I'm trying to think and bring this back homeopathically, there's the world is like a person. And so physically and intellectually, that's where everything is. And spiritually, there's a great imbalance. So the only way in which we can help or can move on would be to develop the spiritual part, which is doesn't tie into, I guess it would tie into Heilkunst in terms of rebalancing, but I'm wondering if I'm missing something here in terms of the concept of homeopathy and looking at it in a very sick world.
Well, I think you have to not look at it superficially in terms of homeopathy. Obviously, you can't take hate and potentize it, or power and potentize it and feed it. But you what we're talking about when we say it's an allopathic world and you need to approach it differently is that your whole diagnosis of the situation has to be different. So. You know, the diagnosis of allopathic medicine with cancer is that, well, you have a tumor. And the tumor must be destroyed. And it must be cut out. And this is the action that is taken. Now, if you're stepping back and you look at it and you say, well, you know, that's a false diagnosis. The problem's not the tumor. The problem is this disease or this series of diseases that lie behind the production of that tumor. And therefore, what I would suggest is the following treatment. Well, if you're in the state of mind that the tumor is real, is disease, then you live in fear. If you don't do something about the tumor, you're going to die. Okay. And therefore, any other measure is by definition immoral. You know, basically, you can have your children taken away from you. If you decide not to have them treated with radiation or chemotherapy, because the definition is that you're being immoral. You're doing something which will harm your children. Because it comes from the state of mind that the tumor is real, and if you don't do something about it directly, and these are the approved methods, then you're acting inappropriately. If you live in a different state of mind, and you say, well, I don't really see the tumor as the problem. I see all these diseases as the problem. And if I take care of them, they will take care of the tumor. And the tumor will take care of itself. So that's a radical solution for someone who lives in a state of mind. You know, as the Bible says, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Well, we all have eyes to see and ears to hear. But what it means is you have the eyes to see this world and the ears to hear this word. And if you don't, you won't hear it. And you won't see it. So if we come to violence and we look at this whole situation, the struggle we face, and it's not an easy one, is to make the correct diagnosis. What exactly is the disease here? Is it terrorism? Is it the bombing? Is that the disease? Well, you could argue it is. It's a bit like the tumor. Or is it something else? And if it is something else, what is it? And that would take a genius on the order of Hahnemann again to look at that overall situation and render a diagnosis. But it has to be done. That it might take 10 years and that people might die in the meantime and people will struggle. Just as Hahnemann was struggling with finding Heilkunst, people were still doing allopathic medicine and people were still being saved or being, you know, died using allopathic medicine. It's still happening today because it still isn't shifted out into the broader world in a sense. But that doesn't prevent you from deciding that this in the long term is a better path to follow than to simply fall into the one of despair that, well, I've got cancer, the authorities say I better use chemotherapy or radiation, so that's what I'll do, out of fear. Because you're afraid if you don't do that, something terrible will happen. That's the same problem we face with this. You know, do we fight force with force here? Do we send in the military, beef up security? That's the standard response, the allopathic response. But where's it going to lead to? I would rather put my time and energy into finding a more creative solution, which is based on a true diagnosis of what's going on. And once you've done that and rendered that, the solution, in a sense, suggests itself. This is the beauty of Hahnemann's diagnosis, is that in Hahnemann's diagnosis, which is a true diagnosis, as soon as you make your diagnosis, you have your remedy. You don't find that in any other system of medicine. The moment you have decided what the disease is, you already know what the remedy is. No, it doesn't have to be similar. That's not the issue. Because Heilkunst is not just about the law of similars. It could be the law of opposites. It could mean that you might have to put love where hate is. It could mean that you may have to comfort people where they need to be comforted. But it could also mean that you have to apply truth. In his system, you have regimen, which is the law of opposites. You have medicine, which is the destruction of disease. If I see a state of mind in someone that is a disease state of mind, I can treat that. Whether it's an individual or a leader doesn't matter, but if I can treat that person, or if someone can treat that person, you've got your answer. But you may also have to go into the third element, which is gets us into the whole spiritual domain, which is all about the truth. And the truth here sets you free. Not a remedy, but the truth becomes the remedy. But you first have to come up with the truth. You first have to generate the truth, and then you have to take people to a point where they're willing to hear the truth. But that's not your responsibility. Hahnemann put the truth out in terms of medicine in his works, but some people pick it up, some don't. Some people hear the truth, some people don't. But when you apply it, you see the fruits of it. You don't have a system where 150,000 people die a year because of allopathic medicine. How many World Trade Centers is that? Three? Three a year? You don't have that in Heilkunst. So there has to be an element of truth there, unlike the allopathic system. The allopathic system is sustained on the idea that, well, if we didn't give medicine, more people would die. But that's an illusion. It's a belief. It's never been tested. In fact, where it has been tested is proven to be false. So, it's not just a matter of similars. It's a matter of the whole system. But what it really comes down to is a diagnosis. And this is the struggle. It took Hahnemann his lifetime to come up with a diagnosis and to pass that on as in a legacy. Who are we to suppose that we can find it in a day or two? It may take each of us a lifetime just to find a part of that truth and to pass it on. But to me, that struggle is worth it rather than falling into the mindset of fear, which is we have to do something because otherwise what's going to happen? Well, I'm with Dr. Hahnemann here. I'd rather not give my child drugs knowing that they are harmful and face the consequences on my conscience than to give them those drugs out of fear, even if I don't necessarily have something that I can give them. Now, that's my choice, but it can't be your choice, necessarily. I can't impose that on you. I have patients who give their child the drug when I can't find the remedy in time. I can't question that judgment. That's their decision, but it wouldn't be mine. So that's the individual choice we face, the kind of loneliness of freedom. I can't rely on authority because I've rejected authority. It's false. I can't rely on God because I have free will. So it's not God's responsibility to make that decision for me. It's my responsibility. But I can make it in connection with God, in terms of the divine connection that exists between man and God. But I'm still on my own. It's a lonely situation. It's a frightening one. But that's the world you have to face.
When everybody was talking, was that like Rudy, you mentioned about quantitative. But when you think of diseases within yourself, there's people that get small little things that, you know, bug them, and they choose to ignore them. And then the message gets a little louder, and they still ignore them. And for some people, they may pay attention to it when it's this small. But for some people, they have to get the message really, really loud. So the diseases are getting louder and louder. So, you know, before we thought it was a big deal to have, I don't know, some smaller disease. Well, now the diseases are really getting big and powerful and loud. It's the same in the world. You know, we have all these little disasters that have been happening. It used to be that if something happened to a small town or something, that was a huge deal. Well, that's nothing to people anymore. The messages are having to get louder and louder and louder because, and this one was pretty loud, and it